Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in God's presence? You are not showing it. You don't look like you are excited. Come on! Glory! Is it thou? Is it thou will show me the path of life? He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. There is joy in God's presence. And can I tell you why there is joy? Because impossible things are made possible in His presence. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you so much, Minister Abe. Can you please put your hands together as you celebrate this grace? You may be seated. God bless you. Tonight is not a discipleship service, so it will be a quick walk. A quick walk. How many of you were here earlier this morning, up into the afternoon? Wow. I'm sure you were thoroughly blessed. It was a moment. It was a moment. The presence of God was so heavy. Commitments were made to Jesus. And I know those lives will never be the same again. Praise God. Want to honor God's servant again, Pastor Charles and his wife, for putting up this program. So many lives have been touched, and transformations, unfathomable transformations, are already taking place. May the Lord continually uphold you in Jesus' name. Want to honor all the ministers that are here. Thank you for coming, Erica and her husband. It's good to see you again. God bless you. Thank you so much. And here comes the lioness. Can we celebrate the woman of God? Hallelujah. Praise God. Is that Tomiriel? How you doing? Good to see you. Can we celebrate her? Mighty, mighty, mighty woman of God. She is coordinating some of my mentees in here in Kenya. You know, these things are growing too much. You need to have people praying all over the nation. And they are doing a tremendous work in Nayuki. I think when next I come, I will go straight to Nayuki. Straight to Nayuki. As I land in Nairobi, I will go straight to Nayuki. Spend 2 days, have fellowship with the brethren, and then return to Nairobi. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mr. John, good to see you. That's my brother in Kenya. Celebrate him for his love for God. The Lord was dealing with us this morning on a very serious matter. In fact, it was this morning we had the liberty of the Spirit to deal with the theme of the conference. The first two nights were preparing the ground for this morning. And so seeing that the ground was adequately prepared, we were able to look into the subject. And we thank the Lord for graciously granting utterance and also validating what he was doing in the morning with his presence. Father, thank you for what you've done in the course of this meeting, the lives you've touched. Thank you, Lord, even for what you will do tonight, because we know it will surpass our imaginations. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Tonight, having dealt with the emphasis of the conference, God wants to give us a buffet. The reason God is operating like this is because some of the things he insisted on for the first three sessions or so were heavy matters. And so you will need to be helped to be able to leave it. And you also need to be empowered to be able to live it. For example, when God was talking to us about legislators, he showed us five cadres a man will attain as he grows as a legislator in the kingdom. And in fact, we're made to understand first and foremost that territories reflect their spiritual essence. Physical territories reflect spiritual realities, because there are spirits watching over these territories who are the architects of the making of these territories. And so we say, when you see a territory where evil thrives, it's because there are lords in the demonic realm who are managing the affairs of that territory. And we saw from the book of Ephesians that there are principalities, there are powers, they are rulers of the darkness of this world, and they are spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We saw that the word principality is the word okay. It means first in rank. So they are the ones who come first to take the territory. And then the word power is the word exousia. And exousia in this context is the ability to control choices and liberty. And so when a principality comes in to secure a territory, a power comes in to ensure that the people that give allegiance to those principalities are perpetually enslaved to the will of those principalities. That's what you call an addiction. And then we saw that when that is done, then the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world comes. And the word ruler is the word cosmokratos. What it means is the ability, the lords that bind, the lords. They are lords. And what they do is they write laws, so that when you come under an addiction, that addiction becomes the direction of your destiny. And we saw that when they are done, then the spiritual wickedness comes. And the spiritual wickedness are called ponera or poneria. And what it means is one that have the ability to cause depravity. This is why when you align with demons, at the end of the day, your life will be destroyed. Because the principalities secure you for the spiritual wickedness to destroy you. So he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so we said, in order for these princes to secure a territory, They will have to come in their different ranks. And we saw that in Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, when God went to deliver Egypt, he had to judge the gods of Egypt. Because Egypt was not ruled by Pharaoh. Egypt was ruled by gods in the spirit. There's a Leviathan that hid in the belly of the ocean that navigated all the activities in Egypt. And so God had to judge the gods of Egypt for deliverance and emancipation to be granted Israel. Even in Babylon, we saw in Daniel chapter 10 verse 20 that when Daniel began to pray and the angel showed up, he told him that the prince of Persia is the one ruling Babylon. And when the prince of Persia goes, he said the prince of Grecia will come. So there are princes in the heavenly realm that rule the affairs of men. But we also saw that those princes will not be effective unless as they have human agencies. Because the heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. And we said those human agencies in darkness range from messengers to witches and wizards to warlocks and to sages. An agent is one who is ruled by his appetite. So those princes manipulate his appetite in order to use him to recruit people for principalities. And so a lady who is fair in complexion can easily be used as a seductive agent. A young man who is prophetic can easily be used as a seductive agent because there are giftings within them that helps them to carry out those functions. So those ones, they are slaves of their appetite. The man will bag his beers, and the way he will carve the beers will make him look attractive. He will be in the mirror and is appreciating the beers. He doesn't know what he's doing. Is his spirit manipulating him. So he will now go out. He will gym for 2 years. When his chest is like this, he will now wear a tight shirt and move with his beers. And use the BS to seduce people. In 1 year, he has 30 girlfriends. Those 30 girlfriends, 10 of them are pregnant, they commit abortion. So their hearts become hardened. Their conscience dies. And then he will now send them out. They will now go and begin to afflict the other young believers who are not strong. The guy passed them for 3 days. He just came out and saw a fair lady who has already been taught by the young macho man. The fair lady now is desiring intimacy because now a spirit is involved. And the young man who just fasted will fall and go and start crying. He doesn't know he's a victim of spirit city. So when they deal at the level of those agents, they now go forward and begin to use witches. A witch is a being that has the power to cast spell. So a witch is not just an agent that uses his appetite. A witch can cast spell. It can create enchantments. And so when these princes want to take over the territory, they will need those people to go around and enchant the city. Cast spells. Those spells are the reason that people become weak. So a virgin can go to an area where there's a nightclub and that night she'll be disflowered because there's an energy there that her will can't resist. A young man can go out in the evening and he will come back and drink alcohol for the first time. There are spares. And those spares weaken his will. Even if he tries, it will be difficult. Because in addition to the agents, there are witches that are also bringing spiritual momentum into that atmosphere. Sometimes they will cast spares that will cause confusion in families. And you don't know why your wife just made one mistake and you quarrel for 1 month. The quarrel can't end. It's a spare working, a spare. Because they want to create divorce. And you are saying, this my wife is a useless woman. No, that word, it was programmed. So if you don't have intelligence, you may even start beating her and you will become a beast. But what you are responding to is a spear that is cast into the territory because a spirit city is being formed. Now when those spears are cast, then the warlocks come. The job of the warlock is a supervisor. He's monitoring to see the efficacy of what the witches have done. To see whether it's working. If it's working, he's sending a report through the sage to the principality. And if it's not working, the warlock will come to support what the witch is doing. And bring higher spares. And if that one is not working, then the sage will come. The sage is like a judge. He has the ability to impart spiritual graces and spiritual anointings. Because what we do in light, we also do in darkness. If the sage, the warlock, the witch, and the messengers are working with the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, a city will be created. That's what you call Egypt. Egypt is a city that keeps you in captivity. So if you are in Egypt, you can't make progress. And so you have a master's degree, you have a PhD, but you are in Egypt. And so your master's degree cannot make life have meaning. You are so gifted and talented, but nobody knows you and nobody will hear your voice. It's because you are in Egypt. For you to be able to succeed, the powers of Egypt must break. Because Egypt will use a weakness in you to keep you in captivity. Israel was in Egypt for 430 years until God sent his own messengers. Messengers that can counter the operation of the sages and the warlocks. And then sometimes it's Babylon that will be created. Babylon is a city of corruption. That's why today you can fast, tomorrow you fornicate. Today you can fast, tomorrow you lie. It's mixture. And because there's mixture, God cannot approve of what you are doing. And the Bible said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. So when a man is in Babylon, he is like a person suffering from bipolar disorder. He is hungry for God. On one side is on fire. On another side is a demon. So when he leads the choir and they sing, the anointing will fall. You will be moved that this person is anointed. Tomorrow he will go back and sleep with three people in the choir. What's happening is called Babylon. So there's mixture. He's trying to collapse good and evil, light and darkness. That's the operation of Babylon. That kind of spirit city is created by dark princes. And so there are many territories God can't move because those cities have been created. There's Babylon. The prophets are operating from Babylon. They can call your name, they can call your phone number, but they have 35 girlfriends. Some of them have done abortion for them, so it's called Babylon. Even though they are calling names and phone number, God can't affect that city because those prophets are agents of darkness. The apostle can come and speak fire, but after speaking fire, he is doing money laundry with church. He is purifying money through the altar. Somebody will steal 10 billion, give to him, and he will give the person 9 billion and keep 1 billion. So he's a thief. He's the reason why society is not growing, even though he's talking fire. Because of that, his authority is withdrawn. Now, because of this kind of spirit city, when God wants to deliver people, he will now begin to raise his own warriors. And so we said the warriors God raises are the ones we call legislators. The first of them are intercessors. And we say an intercessor is not just a prayer man. We say an intercessor is somebody that first of all passes through a recruitment program. And the recruitment program of an intercessor is number one, sacrifice. God will test him to see that he doesn't hold on to anything. So sometimes for 2 years, God will tell him to keep giving all his money. He will cry, God will answer. It's a recruitment program. Everything that makes sense to him, God will take it away. He will tell God why, God will not answer. They just gave him a car, God will tell him to sow it as a seed. God is teaching him the way of sacrifice. A point will now come, nothing will mean anything to that intercessor. He has passed one class. God will now test him in the area of purity. For many months, God will keep purging him. If he lies, the Holy Ghost will put a burden on him until he goes on 3 days fast. God will be so rigid with him as though God wants to kill him. It's because of where God is taking him to. A point will come where his garment will not be stained. It is that purity that becomes the infrastructure that his intercessory exercise will be built on. When he passes the test of purity, God will now come to deal with pride. Because a contrite heart and a broken spirit thou shalt not despise. God will break him until a point will come where he will not see himself as anything. He is a servant and a slave of the Spirit of God. When God is able to break him like that and there's no pride, God will now go a bit further. And the final test, God will take him through. Those of you who were here in the morning, what's the fourth one? It's stamina. Test for stamina. That's when God will now start teaching him prayer. His prayer now will not just be tongues. His prayer will be ability to focus on God only. If he's able to build stamina, build purity, build brokenness, and develop the heart of sacrifice, then God will now recruit him as an intercessor. And I said the first thing that makes you an intercessor is that the burden of God is put on your heart. So when God has a burden for children, He will share that burden with you. You will now start praying for children as if anything goes wrong with the children, you will die. The reason is because your heart is now connected to the heart of God. So God shares His burden with you. Sometimes God will put a burden for you on your heart, on the corruption in society. You will now be praying for the leaders, praying for the government, and weeping as if your father is the governor. Whereas your father is not in politics, but it's a burden in the heart of God. That burden is what makes you an intercessor. Because the badge of an intercessor is the burden that he bears. It takes the burden of men to God, and it takes the burdens of God to men. When there is affliction in society, God will put it on his heart as a burden. He will cry to God night and day. And if God wants to do anything, God will also put it on his heart as a burden. So the intercessor becomes the spiritual gangway through which spiritual traffic takes place in territories. When he begins to prosecute those burdens like that, a point will come where those burdens will take him to warfare. And the reason is because those things he's addressing were the installations that demons put in society. Because the immorality is a spiritual mast. The violence is a spiritual mast. The corruption is a spiritual mast. Demons connected those masts into those territories in order to control those territories. The intercessor is now trying to remove them. And so when they notice that his prayer is beginning to tamper with their installation, they will find him. That's when the intercessor will enter warfare. And they will begin to attack his finances, attack his health, attack his family, attack his image, attack his name. In fact, sometimes they will use Christians. Because the easiest people to use to fight are Christians who are not spiritually mature. They will mobilize them and they will start pulling the person down, attacking his name, attacking everything about him. Meanwhile, they don't know that the salvation of Israel is on the shoulder of that person. But because there's lack of spiritual discernment, the devil will use them to fight, because it is the water in the ship that sinks the ship, not the one outside. So the intercessor will grow from a burden to warfare. When he now enters warfare and God sees that there is a battle, God now will give him discernment. Those discernments are the things that make an intercessor invincible. Because when you are being fought, your strength is your discernment. You may want to go out, they plan an accident for you, you stand up, you now lose your peace. When you check, you now discover you are not supposed to travel that day. You will go back to your room, sleep. That discernment will become your insurance in the spirit. It is the way of an intercessor. That's why I told you in the morning that an intercessor does not have the luxury of being a football fan. He can watch football once in a while, but he cannot be a fan, because he's in the midst of too much spiritual complexity to manage distraction. Imagine if you were reading the Bible and they told you that Elijah was a tourist. Elijah. Where does Elijah have that luxury from? Or they now tell you John the Baptist was a swimmer. He loves to swim. They knew who they were. So they think it's our generation today that a Gio will be a Liverpool fan and he will be so proud about it. You can watch Liverpool, but you can't be a fan, because you cannot follow 38 matches in one season. I was a football fan. As you start growing in God, they will put a law on you. You can't manage that distraction in the midst of burdens and warfare. There are some burdens you carry. If you go and sit where people are shouting, the burdens will be aborted. So you can't have the luxury to go and be arguing about mercy. No, you can't argue. Such argument will cause spiritual abortions. So when a man has burdens, it's like a pregnant woman. That burden is what controls him. And that burden cannot be compatible with the way of the world. Once in a while, there's World Cup, you can watch one or two matches. There's Premier League, you can watch one or two matches. But the burdens you have are too much. How can you even be watching Premier League now? When all the captain in the Premier League, their handband carry LGBTQ flag, and you are cheering up, you don't have discernment. Because what you have not seen is that they are beginning to use the Premier League as a channel of promoting LGBTQ. And you, who is a gatekeeper, you will now be cheering somebody that he's the captain of your club, who is an ambassador of LGBTQ. His handband is carrying the flag, and then you are celebrating them. If you have a burden, the moment you see that, the Premier League will become a prayer point.
This is why we cannot connect to the world, because there are too many demonic intelligence using the world to win the souls of men. And it will begin from a burden into warfare and then into discernment. By the time you get there, you have become an intercessor. From there, God will now promote you based on your faithfulness, and He will make you a guardian. A guardian is one that God gives authority to watch over systems and over cities. That's who Ananias was over Damascus. That was why Paul could not enter Damascus. The moment Paul was coming, he was struck down. And Jesus told him, there was a guardian here. I appear to you, but I have nothing to tell you. Go into the city, you will be told what to do, because there was a guardian. In Acts 20:29, Paul said, if I leave you, he said, wolves will come. That means the reason the church was kept was because there was a guardian. In Colossians 4:12, he said, Epaphras is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So the reason the Colossian church was perfect is because Epaphras was the guardian over that church. That's a higher ranking intercessor. When you grow from a guardian, you now become a custodian. A custodian is a keeper of the secrets of God. Because as a guardian, you are protecting a people. But as a custodian, you are upgrading the quality of their lives. If there is war now, and we protect this place from attack, if we don't provide food, we have not protected you. We have protected you from attack, but hunger will kill you. So we need to give you food while you are yet protected. So a guardian shields the church, but a custodian has secrets that upgrade the quality of the church. It's another rank in intercession. When you now grow from a custodian, then you become a watcher. A watcher has authority to judge. In Daniel 4, verse 13 and 17, he said, when Nebuchadnezzar was judged, he said, this is the decree of the watchers, the holy ones of God. It wasn't God that decreed, it was the watcher that judged him. Because the rank of a watcher is also an angelic rank. That's where men and angels become one. They exact the same authority. You notice that when Zacharias came to, Gabriel came to deliver a message to Zacharias, and he doubted him, he judged him. He said, you'll be dumb. That's a watcher. He has authority to judge. And there are men that have that kind of authority too. Because when Peter went to Samaria, and the sorcerer wanted to buy the gift of God, he judged him. He said, you have no part in this. When Paul was preaching to the high commissioner in Acts 13 verse 11, and the sorcerer wanted to maneuver what was going on, Paul judged him and he became blind. That is a watcher. And so those are heights you grow into. But I said, when you become a watcher, there is yet another height. It's called the realm of a judge. A judge does not just have power to judge. He is the law. And so in 2 Corinthians 3:15, he said, when Moses is read. That means Leviticus is Moses. Numbers is Moses. Moses has become the law of God. So when you are reading the law of God, you are actually reading Moses. He has become the symbol and the representation of the law of God. The same way Paul said, my gospel. The gospel of Jesus became the gospel of Paul. That was why Paul said, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. But as a man who is found trustworthy, I can speak on these matters. And the thing Paul said became scripture. Meanwhile, scriptures are supposed to be the breath of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost did not breathe. Paul breathed. And the breath of Paul became the breath of the Holy Spirit. Because he has become the law. That's the rank of a judge. And so you cannot leave this world until you grow. Either through the rank of an intercessor. Or the rank of a guardian. Or a custodian. Or a watcher. Or a judge. Because we are supposed to be kings and priests. The kingdom of God is not for Christians. It's for Christians that have become kings and priests. And to grow in priesthood, you must journey through this ladder. This is the emphasis of this conference. And the Holy Ghost helped us through the utterance of the Spirit and Scripture to bring these realities to bear. And many persons made commitments in the morning that their lives will become a vessel through which God will pour out Himself. The challenge this evening, therefore, is what we want to address. Because you cannot do this with cancer. You cannot do this with diabetes. You cannot do this with hepatitis. You cannot do this with liver failure. And so, While God has recruited you, God wants to refurbish you so that you will be in the right frame to be able to carry out this agenda. Because every company has a welfare department. So the miracle department is actually God's welfare department. Because God will not want you to stand and pray through the night when you are struggling with typhoid fever. You can't stand and pray through the night when you are suffering from lack. Your children don't have school fees. That lack of school fees will become a distraction. So in addition to your commitment to God, or by reason of your commitment to God, God wants to do something to create an enabling atmosphere for you. Because God is more fair than the boss of your company. If the boss of your company knows how to give dressing allocation, transportation allocation, housing allocation, God does better. And so the miracle package that God wants to do tonight is to create a holistic atmosphere for you to be able to grow into the purposes of God. And so, a miracle service is beyond a healing service. Help that brother before. A miracle service is beyond a healing service. In a healing service, God is only dealing with your body. But in a miracle service, beyond your body, God is also dealing with your circumstances. So God will not only heal people's bodies this night, God will also heal their money, their pocket. Yes, God will heal their pocket. God will not only heal people's pockets this night, God will permit some persons with favor so that doors will begin to open to them. Because there are certain corridors that we need to stand to do this business. Some of you need to go to government. You need to do intercession from the office of the president. Some of you need to do intercession from the highest echelon of financial corridor. You will do intercession among the bourgeois. So when the wealthy men sit down, there will be one gatekeeper in their midst. All of them will not just be playing golf. All the wealthy men cannot be playing snooker. Among the wealthy men who play golf, play snooker, there has to be somebody else who is a prayer. So that when he comes into their midst, he can bring the atmosphere of heaven there. So that angels will begin to encounter them. If not, all the budgets of this country will go to things that facilitate darkness. So intercessors must be planted in every corridor. And so what God does in miracle services is that he grants favor. He grants authority. He grants open doors. He grants healing. And I prophesy over somebody tonight. Whatever affliction you came here with, be it bodily or circumstantial, it goes down tonight. Now hear this. Please sit down. Sit down. When I reach where I'm going to, we will open some things. Don't worry. There are three weapons that we have in order to engender divine intervention. The first weapon we have is called faith. Faith. You didn't create faith. Faith was given to you. That's why you don't have to struggle to believe. In Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says, unto every one of us is dealt unto the measure of faith. So there is a measure of faith that has already been credited to your spirit. In a miracle service like this, what God wants to do is to activate that faith. So that faith, because it is with that faith that you can receive. God may be here to give somebody an open door to the office of the president in 24 hours. But faith may not be there to carry it. And so when he brings you to a miracle service, what he wants to do is to activate your faith. Because the answer is tied to your faith. That's why many met Jesus. And when Jesus intervened, he said, be done to you according according to your faith. Because what receives from God is faith. If you read the story of the woman with the issue of blood, many persons were pressing on Jesus. The woman didn't press. She just touched the hem of his garment. Virtue left Jesus. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That means all the other people touching Jesus were not touching him. Because you can touch at different dimensions. When you touch with faith, you touch where power is. But when you touch his body, you are touching a man. There is a realm of power where answers to human affliction rest. And it takes only faith for you to touch there. A young lady came to me last week. She was given a job. She saw a job proposal and she applied. And this job was supposed to pay her thousands of dollars. She was working somewhere before. Where she was working before, they were paying her, I think she said about 2 million naira in a month. 2 million naira is about $2,500. That's what she was earning in a month. But she had a job offer to earn more. So because of the juicy appointment, because I actually prayed for her that a door will open, she now quickly went and resigned. And she had not been giving offer letter. After she resigned, they now told her that the signal they got from the U.S. for now is that employment should be on hold. That means she made herself jobless overnight. Her faith could, the little spark in her faith was enough for her to apply for the job. But she didn't have faith to receive it. So she quickly came to me for prayers. When I looked at her, I now said, "No, that is against the law of righteousness. They already told you they will give you the job before you resign. Although according to classical wisdom, you are not supposed to resign until you have gotten an offer letter. But since you have resigned, we will have to prosecute this matter from another corridor." So we prosecuted the matter from the corridor of justice and equity. And so I told her that before this week is over, there will be an intervention. It was not up to 24 hours. When she opened her email address, the offer letter was in the email. It's faith that provokes the miraculous. If faith is not there, it will be yours, but you can't receive it. The reason is because what you are looking for is in another dimension. We are sitting here now. There is a spiritual dimension here. It is your faith that will make you touch it. All your answers are in the spiritual dimension. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, he says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So what makes the blessings of heavenly places, earthly places reality, is the gangway of faith. That's why Jesus speaking in John 11:40, he said, "If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." And so the way to activate faith is to bring the word of God. And so when you start hearing the word of God, something happens to you. You look away from your circumstance and you look at what the word of God says. As you start looking at what the word of God says, suddenly something will happen. We were in a crusade last week in Jos. A man came with a spinal cord disorder. It's an elderly man. Troubled him for many years. And so he came for the crusade with the body. His whole attention was on the spinal cord. And I started talking the word. I was so tired. My nose was blocked. I didn't even have energy. I was just talking the word. As I was talking the word, a point came. The man forgot his pain and began to receive the word. After a while, he now said, he remembered, I said, "Check where you had the problem." And he checked. He said it was like play. The spinal cord loosened. The pain vanished. When he came out, he couldn't hold himself. He said, "I thought you were playing." Because when faith comes, you can cross your leg, things will happen. You can pocket your hand, things will happen. Because when faith is alive, God is the one walking. And so when you want to see miracle, you need something that will stir your faith. And this is the language of faith. The language of faith is different from the language of religion. The language of religion says it is either yesterday or tomorrow. But faith said it's now. It said now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith says it is now. And so I make bold to tell you, that thing you are looking for will not come tomorrow. It will come now. In that same crusade, a woman was listening to me, and suddenly goiter vanished. Goiter, a humongous growth on the neck, vanished. She couldn't believe herself. They told her she was to go for surgery and she was supposed to take drugs for 2 years. But the moment faith came alive, goiter that should have taken 2 years to be treated vanished, because faith says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I decree over you now, whatever the challenge is, it goes down now. Mafra elakido baragata, sesali farida ascavronta, baragida fragado sabratina, lalisha daba. It doesn't matter for how long the challenge has been. If the weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. If the our light affliction are but for a moment, they are but for a moment, they are but for a moment. I decree, it doesn't exceed this moment. Suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. It's about a moment. At a certain time, the angel of the Lord troubled the water. It's a certain time. And I came to tell you, that time is now. Because your faith is what defines the time. Every affliction you came with, they go down now. They told you, it will not work. They told you, you are not qualified. They told you, you are not good enough. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to be good enough. Jesus has qualified for you. Jesus has made you good enough. Because our righteousness is Christ. Our faith is Christ. And so I decree, anything that is not of Christ, it gets out of your life now. Parakira, paragata. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Your faith is killing something. It's called katalambano. You are catching something. You are catching something. It doesn't matter if you were in the pit. There is a hand that lifts man. It doesn't matter if you were beaten down. There's a hand that strengthens man. It doesn't matter if you were defeated. There is a hand that makes man prosper. Do you know how faith works? Let me shock you. Hear this. Even if what you are looking for was not created, it said through faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. Faith creates. Even if it was not there, faith can bring it to pass. I decree over you now, everything reducing the quality of your life because your faith is activated, receive it now. Seen too much to doubt. A young lady walked into that same meeting and she came with ovarian mass, a growth in the ovaries. She could feel it. The pains were unbearable. But suddenly, while we were talking, she heard every growth in your body vanish, and immediately the ovarian cyst, the mass vanished. She checked, she couldn't find it because faith had answered to its name. Can I shock you? A young lady came there with appendicitis. The appendix left. She was celebrating, thinking she was healed. But what God did was beyond healing. When she went home, she now discovered her sister that was mad from childhood. The power that touched her was sensitive enough to know that the problem was not only the appendix. The power also touched the sister that was mad. You don't know what faith can do. Faith is the answer. I decree over you now, everything that constitutes a challenge, they go down now. Wamulele, wamulele, murabaka mi Yesu. Wamulele, wamulele, murabaka mi Yesu. Where are my singers? Where are the singers? I'm sensing something. I'm sensing something. Get me the mystery. Come on, come on, come on. Ba-ta-ta-ta-ta. Jaya, jaya. Wire, wire, wire. Come on. Wabulele, wabulele, mura baraka, Yesu. Take the song for me.
Give the Lord a shout! Hear this! It doesn't matter how many years that door has been shut. It doesn't matter how many years that challenge has lasted. Now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I command the mountains to give way. I command the mountains to give way now. Every growth in your body, I command them to vanish now. Every pain, I command them to go now. Every affliction in the blood, in the organ, in the eyes, in the ears, I command them to go now. Everything fighting your finances, I command them to go now. In the name of Jesus. Shout! In 1 John, hear this. In 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. It said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That thing you are suffering from, is it in the world? Is it in the world? And so now I decree, overcome it in the name of Jesus. Overcome it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yabah. Shout glory! My God, can you give me one powerful Kenyan song? A praise song. Who is energetic here? Who is anointed here? Who is the most energetic? Give me a heavy, I'm sensing something here. My God, Jehovah reigns. Jehovah. No, wait. Sing a Kenyan song that you know.
Hakuna Mungu kama wewe Bwana. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe Bwana. Unaweza.
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 Kama wewe Bwana.
Unaweza.
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 Kama wewe Bwana.
Hakuna Mungu kama wewe Yawe.
Receive an intervention. My God, receive that grace now.
Somebody called me 2 days ago. I don't like giving testimonies of yesteryears because God is working now. 2 days ago, I made a decree over him. And there's a job, a contract he has been pursuing with the American government for many years. Suddenly, they called him 2 days ago and they awarded a contract. The first thing he will gain is 30 million naira. Hear this. 30 million naira is over $70,000. I decree over you now. Receive the intervention for your finances. Financially, in the name of Jesus, I cut barrenness to its root. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth in the name of Jesus. Somebody called me yesterday. They are coming to testify tomorrow because we have another miracle service in Abuja tomorrow. What was the challenge? Married for 3 years, no issue. In February, I said, before this year is over, you carry your child. They are coming with a boy to dedicate tomorrow. Anybody here barren, in the name of Jesus, I command fruitfulness. Sit down for a moment. Your career just opened up. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. I've seen too many deaf ears open, too many blind eyes open. Fear not, only believe. Tonight, because of your faith, much more than you ask, you receive. Give the Lord a shout! They are weapons. When faith comes alive, anything is possible. Because the atmosphere of creation is the atmosphere of faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. So when the word comes, it creates faith first. Because it's within faith that creation takes place. You can't live here with any sickness. By the time we are done, you will check and discover that ear has opened. That pain has gone. That growth has gone. In the name of Jesus. Some of you, even your loved ones that are connected to you, hear this. When God is touching you, He's touching everything connected to you. Because you may not be sick, but if your wife is sick, you are sick. If your brother is sick, you are sick. Everything that is a challenge, faith handles now. Thank you. Sit down. These people want to thank me. We will sing that song again. The second weapon we have is called the anointing. The Bible said in Acts 10:38, It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You can't do good except you're anointed. It is the enablement of God that makes you surpass the weakness of the flesh. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. When the anointing comes, oppression ends. The anointing is allergic to oppression. The antidote for oppression is the presence of the anointing. The moment the anointing shows up, whether you talk or not, because you make contact, the oppression will go naturally. In Isaiah 10:27, it said, the yoke shall be broken. Not because you spoke, but because of the anointing. The moment the anointing shows up, the yoke breaks. The yoke is commanded to break at the instance of the anointing. Except the anointing is not there. The same way the Bible said, the light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Darkness is calibrated to give way when light shows up. That is how yokes are calibrated to give way when the anointing shows up. And in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Bible said Jesus showed up and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. See what he said? To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To bring deliverance to the captive. Recovery of sight to the blind. And liberty to them that are bruised. For here's the good news tonight. Jesus was not the only one the Spirit was upon. He said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. And power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So the same anointing that was on Jesus is the same anointing that is in this place. The same anointing that healed the blind, that healed the deaf, is the same anointing that is in this place. And so in the name of Jesus, every yoke that is on your life, they break now. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it was not a ritual. You were being anointed for power. You were being anointed to create change. So you are a creature of power. You are an agent of power. You are a carrier of power. You are a custodian of power. You are a dimension of power. Because the anointing is upon your life. And so yokes break. Afflictions end. In the name of Jesus, I decree by the anointing, let the yokes break now. Do you see why Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, the works that I do, greater works than this shall ye do, because I go to the Father. Because in his own case, he was anointed. You were anointed, and you were not just anointed. Jesus is now talking to the Father on your behalf. And so you have a double barrel weapon. I decree over you now, because of the anointing in this place, every yoke on your life breaks. Yourself with him. Stir the anointing. Stir the anointing. When you stir the anointing, demons are sensitive. They know. Sometimes you enter your room, you pray in tongues.
until you fall under the anointing. In your own room, you stand up, you worship, you sing, you dance. What you are doing is you are stirring the anointing. When the anointing becomes charged, it creates a radar around your house. Demons can't come there. There's an anointing here now. I can tell you demons are going. Yes. Demons are going. Hey-ya, hey-ya. Suffering under any yoke tonight because of this corporate anointing, we command the yokes to break now in the name of Jesus. Shout! Finally, see why the believer cannot be defeated. There are too many advantages. There are too many weapons. Either you take faith from your quiver, or you take the anointing from your quiver. And then finally, the greatest of them all is the name of Jesus. He said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth therein, and they are saved. Hear this. It was in the Old Testament, they ran into the name of Jesus. In the New Testament, we don't run into the name of Jesus. He said, anyone that is born again has put on the Lord Jesus. So we are clothed with the name of Jesus. We are wearing the name of Jesus. This is why Jesus said in Mark 16:17, he said, in my name, cast out devils. We are in the name of Jesus. He didn't say at my name. He didn't say mention my name. He said in my name you shall cast out devils. So we are not only calling that name, we are wearing that name. We are not only wearing that name, we are living in that name. That's why Paul speaking in Colossians 3:3, he said your life is hid in Christ and Christ is hid in God. So right now that we are speaking, we are in the name of Jesus, because in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. So we cannot be defeated. And there is something about the name of Jesus. He said at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. And so when you show up, every knee bows. When you show up, every tongue confesses, because you are wearing the name of the Lord. You are wearing the name of the Lord. Shout! I cannot be defeated. I cannot be intimidated. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He didn't stop there. He said, God gave him a name, Philippians 5:9-10, that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And he said that whoever is born again has put on the Lord Jesus. And so when I show up, the name of Jesus show up. And so when I show up, every knee bows, every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. I decree over you now, every force and every spirit resisting you, they bow now. They bow now. They bow now. In the name of Jesus, I command deafness bow. I command blindness bow. I command cancer bow. I command hepatitis bow. Every blood condition bow. Every growth in your body bow. Every pain bow. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a shout. every reproach on your life, sponsored by spirits, I command them to bow now. Every attack that you have suffered till now, in the name of Jesus, I command them to bow. Everything stopping you from fulfilling destiny, I command them to bow. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands now and celebrate Him. As the crisis and the affliction goes, celebrate Him, celebrate Him, celebrate Him. The blindness is going, the deafness is going, the pain is going, the bone condition is going, the blood condition is going, the pains are gone. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes, my son, come on. We want to dance one more time as we celebrate this God. Are you ready?
Yes.
The eyes that couldn't see, we see.
Yes.
The ears that couldn't hear, we hear. The pain that have lasted for years, we go.
Yes.
The bone condition, we go.
Yes.
The irregular growth, we go.
Yes.
The blood condition, we go.
Yes.
The organ condition, we go.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Maku, 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 Maku,
Maku,
Maku, Maku, Maku, Maku, Maku,
what?
when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, he said we were like them that dream dreams. Then was our mouth full of laughter. Can you give God a shout? A fire, a miracle working fire here, and many of you will be imparted with that grace to begin to see extraordinary issues. Strokes will be healed, cancers. But before I release that fire, I just want to take one or two testimonies. We're out of time, and so check your body. You have noticed that a pain has gone, a growth has gone, a situation you came with is gone. You couldn't hear, you can hear well, you couldn't see, you couldn't lift your hands, you couldn't walk. You have noticed that there is a change on your body already. You have just noticed a change. You can come to the front here now. I'll just take two testimonies, only two. Come on! Give the Lord a shout! Wait a minute. Don't be lost in the excitement. Check your bodies. You have noticed there is a change. There is a change. Come. I will take just one or two testimonies before I release that impartation. You have noticed a change. Check your bodies now. Check now. You have noticed something. Come out. What happened?
I praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My name is Robert Ngala. I came here.
Need a pastor to quickly just come through here and get me two testimonies. I just want to take two. Just anybody on ground, quickly. Any spiritually mature person, just come quickly. Scan through them, find out what has happened. Give us two testimonies that we will dance to now, fast, while we hear you. Go ahead.
Thank you, man of God. So I came here with this pain. This palms.
Your palms?
Yeah, for 10 years.
For 10 years?
Yeah, I've been feeling it.
Let's hear him.
So the Spirit of God ministered to me, and I felt something leaving this hand.
You felt something leaving your hand?
Yeah. But
so
now,
you had pains in your palms for over 10 years?
Yeah, so I can't work. My efficiency is at 40 or 35% research work. I was very poor in terms of doing my work. So I feel like this.
Because of the pains, you couldn't walk.
Yes, now 10 years since I finished university.
You couldn't even write.
I could write, but an assignment for 30 minutes, I take 2 hours or 3 hours. So I'm very in the
field. A simple thing to write, you take 2 hours plus.
Yes. So now I feel there's a difference. So I would like you to make a word that can be. I think it's 60%. So just mention it. It will be 100%. Say your word and it will be 100%.
You don't need me to touch you.
Yes, yes.
God has already touched you. You receive it.
Amen.
Don't be religious. Give the Lord a shout. Hear this. Demons, tell the brother to come up. Demons are intelligent. They know his work depends on writing. And so they attacked his palm. It looks simple. But he said his performance rating is 35%. That means he's scoring F on his work. So that destiny can be lost.
That's how devils work. It's permanent.
Go! What happened?
Apostle, this lady came from all the way from Uganda.
You came from Uganda?
Uganda. She has a baby. She had a river problem.
Yes.
And now the stomach was very hard when she came. The stomach was full.
The little child had a liver challenge. Wait, let's hear.
Yes.
And because of that challenge, the stomach was very hard.
It was very hard.
What happened now?
And now the stomach is soft.
The stomach has softened. And you are just looking like that. The little child. Give the Lord a song. You are marvelous, yeah. 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 You are marvelous,
yeah. You are marvelous, yeah. You are marvelous, yeah. You are marvelous, yeah. You are marvelous, yeah.
You are marvelous, yeah.
You are marvelous, yeah.
Anybody here with an organ infection, I cause that infection to its root. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. You came from Uganda.
Aga Khan Hospital. To Aga Khan Hospital.
From Uganda. To be treated here. And then you heard about this meeting. So your son, your daughter, he's a boy. He had a liver condition. And he made his stomach to be very hard. And now the stomach has softened. For how long has it been like that?
Since he was born.
Look at this small boy that the devil is afflicting. Will you not celebrate this God? We never honor this God. Give Jesus the praise. How old is he now?
He is 1 and 8 months.
1 year, 8 months. Yes. And he was afflicted with liver conditions since he was born.
Yes.
That made his stomach very hard. So for the first time, his stomach is softening. Talk to me. It's permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them the microphone. Let me hear another testimony.
These two apostles, they could not hear.
You couldn't hear anything. Wait, you?
Yes, for 12 years. After
for 12 years?
Yes.
You couldn't hear with your left ear. Come up here, mama. Come up here. Who can sing for me here? Wamulele, wamulele, mura baraka, Yesu.
Wamulele, wamulele, mura baraka, Yesu.
Wamulele, wamulele, mura baraka, Yesu.
Wamulele,
wamulele, mura baraka, Yesu.
Wamulele, wamulele,
mura baraka, Yesu.
Wamulele,
wamulele, on her. See the power. See the power. You were deaf on your left ear for 12 years. Give her a microphone. You were deaf on your left ear.
Yes.
For 12 years?
Yes. I had a cesarean session 12 years ago. Then because
what session? What session?
Cesarean. They removed the baby from my womb.
And then it affected your ear.
My ear.
For 12 years you've not been able to hear.
Even the phone, I couldn't use this ear to hear.
Even on the phone.
Yes.
What happened now?
Oh,
shekere. What happened to her? Wait a minute. What happened to mama?
For the last 2 and 3 years.
For what?
For the last
3 years I've been straining to hear.
For the last 3 years.
When I came in for the second session you are teaching, my notes have many gaps because my 2 years could not really hear what you are saying.
You couldn't hear.
I couldn't hear. I raised up my
voice. What happened now?
I can now hear with my teeth.
And you are just looking. You are just looking. You are just looking. You are just looking. Wabulele wabulele murabaraka biye. Wabulele murabaraka biye. Wabulele murabaraka biye. Help Mama, help Mama. Mama, you couldn't hear with your 2 ears.
You talked for quite a long time and nothing.
So for the first 3 sessions you heard nothing?
No, the second one.
Oh.
I was trying to listen.
And you couldn't.
And my notes have many gaps. I lifted up my head.
But now you can hear.
I can hear.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord,
hallelujah.
Everybody praise the Lord,
hallelujah.
Everybody praise the Lord,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I really thank God because I've been having a seed since form 2. I've been having problem when I'm going under menstruation. I'll
you
be removing clots, very big clots. I will bleed even for 2 weeks. It has been very painful.
So there was a cyst?
Yes.
A growth?
Yes.
You even could feel it?
Yeah, I could feel it. You could even touch it.
You could touch it.
Yes.
And it caused excruciating pain.
Yes.
It caused bleeding also.
I couldn't stand straight.
You couldn't even stand.
It would pain me even.
What happened now?
Even in the morning when I was coming, it started paining me again. My
what
back.
What happened now?
I was really struggling. Everything has gone. My feet was taking me as gone. Everything has gone.
You are good and your mercy is forever.
You are good and your mercy is forever. Hallelujah.
You are good and your mercy is forever.
Hallelujah.
You are good and your mercy is forever. Gone or is it still there? The growth, what happened? Is the growth still there? Can you still feel it? Give the Lord a shout! The growth also vanished. Let's take this last one because of our time. The brother wants his testimony to be heard by all men. Let's hear how we'll hear you. What happened?
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I thank God so much because from June, I've been going in and I've been in and out of the hospital because of the chest.
You had a chest condition.
Yeah.
What so did the doctor say?
They said it is bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
Yeah.
What does it do to you?
Okay, it makes me feel so much pain.
Pain.
Yeah, here and back.
Did it affect your breath?
Pardon?
Did it affect your breath?
Not really, but I felt so much pain that I could not handle.
So you were in and out of the hospital since June?
Yeah, I've been done two scans. I've gone for two x-rays.
What happened now?
Now I'm feeling okay. I told God when I'm traveling to here, I'm coming here to this meeting, God to heal me completely. I don't want to go back to hospital again.
And the pain is gone completely.
Yeah,
and you are just clapping. Give the Lord the job. Come up here, sister. There is a song we sing in Nigeria when we are overwhelmed. Because of the bigness of God. It's called Ome Mana Rekele Dima.
Ome Mana Rekele. Ome Mana Rekele Dima. Ome Mana Rekele. Ome Mana Rekele Dima. Ome Mana Rekele. Ome Mana Rekele Dima. Ome Mana Rekele.
It's permanent. The name of Jesus. What happened to this sister? What happened to you?
I had an affliction from my stomach going down.
You had an affliction in your stomach?
And sometimes I feel as if it's moving, like it's
shaking. As if something is moving?
Yes.
And what else? What else was the challenge with the affliction?
It just caused a lot of disturbance. And
a lot of disturbance because of movements.
Yes.
So what happened to you now?
It has gone.
What happened to you?
I have been having a condition of back pain. There was a time I went to Kenyatta Hospital. They gave me some medicine. I was healed for a while, but it came coming back. So when I had purpose to come to this meeting. So in the night, I had a dream. And Arome was telling me, now you have joined us. What do you want us to do? So I said, I want to get healed, and I want faith to be ministered in the gospel. So it was prophetic. When I came here, that is what happened. Just I got
the pain is gone.
The pain is gone.
What happened to you?
Since 2020, I've been developed a back problem.
Since 2020, you had a back problem.
Yes, it caused paralysis from here downwards. So
paralysis. It caused paralysis where?
From mid my stomach downwards.
So your waist downward.
So I was on.
Is it the right leg?
No, it affected the.
The waist downwards completely.
No, the stomach from.
Oh, right. There was paralysis in the stomach.
Yeah, so it was the catheters and things like that. Then I came out. So just the other day, last week I was in Aga Khan. They did a surgery. So okay, throughout it has been just so painful. Like I to me it's a surprise because I've stood here. I can walk. I can lie on my back, but now
I need to understand exactly what happened.
Now the
you had a pain since
2020,
and it caused paralysis.
Paralysis. So
from where to where?
From here.
From your waist downwards.
Downwards. Yeah.
So you couldn't walk properly.
The double support.
Okay, there is an iron. That iron they used to support.
Yes, then from there.
That's what you were using to walk.
From there, I was using a crutch.
You now started using a crutch?
Yes, I used it up to July this year.
Up to July, you were using a crutch?
Yes, so last week I was in Aga Khan. They did some surgery. So, but the pain was still
there.
They
did a surgery last week?
Yes.
So, okay.
So the issue was I couldn't stand for this.
You couldn't even stand as you are standing now.
Okay, I was walking. Walking is the therapy. The main problem is sitting for long on a lower seat and then standing static like this for even 5 minutes. That was.
So hear what he's saying. He had an attack from 2020 that resulted in paralysis. So he was using iron to walk. He now started using crutches. Until last week when they conducted a surgery on him. So they now told him to be walking gradually as a therapy. Even at that, he couldn't sit for long, nor stand for long. But he's been standing now
and he's been sitting and he's been walking. That means the effect of the paralysis has gone. Give the Lord a shout. Is there something else?
More than that, to me, what came to when you were talking about, actually, I was sitting there, and I was okay, to be honest. I was skeptical about the meeting. So it's
you were skeptical.
Just to be honest, yeah?
No, of course, go
ahead. Yeah, because, you know, like, like you go, you prayed for, but you see nothing. So my cousin brought me here yesterday. I saw a difference. So today I came myself.
He was skeptical that if you go and they pray for you, you will see nothing. Now nobody even touched him. God was the one who touched him. Can you lift your hands and honor the Lord? There's another thing.
I just want to say the most important thing, even more than that, more than that healing is the hope. You know,
your hope is restored.
You mentioned two things that somebody, I mean, when you mentioned them, like this one following the other one, you say that you have a back problem, hepatitis, and you see, I've been suffering from those two. So you are, okay, I can say you
so it was like listing your crisis.
You were just listening about.
And so if God has done one, then the other one has also been handled.
Let me just finish. Eh? So the hope I'm talking about is that you know, like when I went down, I was working. I had my business. So when that thing came, lost that business.
You wrecked your business.
I lost my job. I was still bedridden. So around 5 months. My wife also came now. She kicked me out of the house. So, you know, in that situation, you've lost your job. You've lost your
Do you
your
see
business.
How wicked the devil is?
Just keep quiet. Just keep quiet.
I'm quiet. I'm quiet.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you've lost it all, yeah? So,
allow this man express himself. You don't know what he went through. I'm sorry for interrupting. Please go ahead.
So you know, after you've lost your job, I lost the business I was doing, and then again your health is gone. After a short while, I really love my wife. I loved her so much. Okay, I'm a Luo. I'm a Kenyan, a Luo. Yeah. I love my wife. So, what happened is that all of a sudden she changed. Yeah?
Your wife changed?
Yes, she changed. And you see, I had invested in her, took her back to school, to college, then getting a good job. Then all of a sudden she comes and tells me, get out of my house. And I say, my house that I've been paying rent? Now that I can't afford to pay rent now, you're telling me it's your house? Okay. My brother came and told me that, okay, if you keep on staying there, that woman will kill you. Okay, he took me up to his place along Gong Road. We stayed there for around 1 year. Then I started again. Okay, I now gain my state. I'm now able to walk now. You see, and the worst thing is that the same house I was in, bring another man, I'm seeing all sort of stuff. Everything went. I almost reached a place of terrible depression. So it's something that has been working. I tried, to get my compensation from WIBA. Nothing is working.
Oh dear.
So you can imagine that kind of hopelessness. But you see, when I was just sitting there,
you were upstairs.
Yeah. Actually, I came. I wanted to sit somewhere there, and that Asha, I think she's the one. She told me not. So. I think all I can say that it's me you came for, not you can forget about these other people.
Oh,
it's me you came for.
Come up here, sir. Come up. See, hear this. Do you know why I allowed him to speak? You don't know what he went through. The pains. And also I allowed him to speak. So you will see the wickedness of the devil. The reason why God empowers people is not for a show. lives have been wrecked. A man that had a business and a good job, a family and a wife he loved, suddenly he was attacked. He became paralysis. He was bedridden for 5 months. In that 5 months, he lost his job. The business was wrecked. The wife that he loved and invested in, he even put the wife to school. Now the wife has a job. But the wife too became overwhelmed. Because to be honest, it's difficult to take care of a helpless person. And the wife had to kick him out of the house. The brother picked him up until last week he had the surgery. And he couldn't sit or stand. And suddenly, Jesus comes through to touch him. Everything you lost, you will receive sevenfold. Every month, something will add to you. And in 7 months, your life will turn around. You know, as you are hearing, more will be happening. This is the last testimony. What happened?
Apostle, this the baby, she got burnt.
She got burnt?
Yeah,
fire accident.
A fire accident. What accident? So what happened? The baby could not lift her hand.
The hand became paralyzed,
yeah,
because of the accident.
Yeah.
Mama, talk to us. Let's hear from you.
She has gone through a lot. When she was born, she had a hole kwa moyo. A heart. Sorry.
There was a hole in her heart when she was born. Okay.
And the surgery was done. After that, she got burnt.
She got burnt?
Yeah. So while you were praying, she was saying, I feel like God has given me a new skin. Take me to the pastor.
What couldn't she do with the hand?
Okay, the hand could.
She couldn't lift the hand. Can she lift it now? Lift the hand, baby. She could. Come on, mama. Come on.
Jehovah reigns. Jehovah reigns. Jehovah reigns. You are lifted up.
Above all others.
You are lifted up.
Above all others.
Hear this. This child has a great destiny. And so the devil, hope you know, the devil came for Jesus when he was 8 days old. The devil wants to stop her. So what we will do tonight is to secure her with power. She was born, look at the hand. She was born with a hole in the heart. A surgery was conducted. She now fell into fire and was burnt, and the hand was paralyzed. These are twin sisters.
Yeah.
So her hand got paralyzed from the fire. She couldn't lift it.
Yeah, the surgery has been postponed for so many times.
They wanted to conduct the surgery to help her.
She had gone surgery 5 times.
She's done surgery 5 times already.
So they wanted to repeat the same hand.
They wanted to repeat. Imagine the pains this little girl. How old is she?
4.5.
4.5 years. 4.5 years has done surgery on the hands 5 times. And they still want to do a correctional surgery so that she can use the hand.
Yeah.
While prayers was going on, what happened?
She has been telling me, we started coming here on that day. So today she was telling me, take me to the pastor.
Oh.
I want a new, God has given me a new skin. So she don't like the skin.
And now she can lift the hand.
Yeah.
She couldn't lift her hand before.
She was, you see here, there was something here.
Oh, there was a metal. Yeah. Baby, can you lift your hand now? Yes. Even the skin will be perfected. We surround you with power. We surround you with grace. No more affliction. In the name of Jesus,
And we decree this destiny must be fulfilled in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. A young girl of 4 years, 4 months, 5 surgeries on the hand, yet not well. But Jesus stepped in. Jesus stepped in. I decree over you, every affliction that doctors are hopeless on, you receive your intervention now. Now lift your hands toward heaven. You know why I love children's testimonies? Because you see what we do, we travel everywhere, we pray for people. Somebody can come and fake that he was healed. You won't know. Because I am not going to see everybody every time. Once in a while, the Holy Ghost can talk to me. Somebody comes and fake that it's a miracle, and it doesn't become a miracle. He can say it and fake it to ridicule you. But when a child is touched, you don't just glorify God. You know that it's genuine. I want to pray for you tonight. Because the major reason for this meeting is not just the healings. It's also for God to empower you. So you will go out there and become an agent of healing. Tell your child that this skin will be healed. Tell her that the skin will be perfected. And she will not have any form of attack like this again. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Everything you have lost on account of these attacks is restored. Now lift your hands toward heaven. Hallelujah. And God's power to be made manifest. Everyone whose heart is open, right now, as I stretch hands over you, I decree from the left to the right, from the front to the back, over the gallery, now receive that grace. Ushers, help me now.
The hand of God is coming upon people for miracles, for signs, and for wonders. Conditions like cancer, like tumor, anything that is growth, the moment you speak, they will melt. Wherever you are now, take that power. Vake, Perica, Sagak, Taliano, Maradia. I've seen somebody with the grace to pack out stadia. You will go from stadium to stadium, and crutches and wheelchairs will be empty. It's an anointing. Wherever that one is now, receive the power. Receive the power. Receive that power. Receive that power. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, take that grace now. Of revivalist from the front to the back in the name of Jesus the Christ, take that fire now. Can you stretch your hands towards me? There is a grace about to fall on one of you now. Your voice will be heard in the name of Jesus the Lord. Take that grace. Anointing the power to establish dominion, and the power to function in heights of authority. Father, select from among them now. Select from among them now. Select from among them now. Take the power. Stretch your hands towards me. I want to activate altars. 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 The authority for priesthood and intercession. Take the power now. Father, Fahete. Elekayana, Sarak. Can we pray for Pastor George? There's a prophetic mantle that is about to come upon you. The Lord is giving you an anointing. And that anointing will give you a scepter for wealth and power. Go and write this down. In the next few years in this country, they will know you and celebrate you nationally. It's a scepter. Woman of God, come. There's a prophetic mantle that is about to come upon you to have power over the nations. You have waited in the hiding. You have prayed. You have fasted. But now the Lord wants to exalt you as one of the guardians over the nations. And so right now by the Spirit, as I stretch hands over you, step into that office, a watcher over nations. In the name of Jesus, receive that mantle now. Ready to be praised. Father, you reign. Great are you, O Lord. For 1 minute, can we pray in the Holy Ghost? Can we pray in the Holy Ghost? Great are you, O Lord. Great are you, O Lord. You are great.
Jesus, your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.